Cars today are built to last, but how they look is up to you, and that's where Maaco comes in. They specialize in cosmetic repairs. Let's say it's affordable paint jobs to fixing those annoying dents and dings. Whatever it is, Maaco has you covered. With more Americans keeping their cars longer, now's the time to protect your investment and keep it looking sharp for years. Get started. Visit your local Maaco today. Get the free estimate and see how easy it is to bring new life to your ride. Uh-oh, better get Maaco.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed, or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LifeLock and use promo code iHeart or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
This is continuing coverage in the trial of Alex Murdaugh from True Crime Today.
Welcome to segment number 5 of our continuing coverage in the trial of Alex Murdaugh. Let's head to the courtroom.
Let me bring the jury.
Mr. Your Honor. All right, Special Agent Kelly, we fixed our technical difficulties, and for the record, about to publish the 911 call.
I'm at Sauk Hatchie Road. Okay, what's the address on Sauk Hatchie Road? I'm by the church. What church are you talking about? I don't know the name of it with the red roof. Okay, what end of Sauk Hatchie Road? Because I don't know where you're talking about. At the Hampton County side. Okay, what's going on?
I got a flat tire,
mm-hmm.
And I stopped, and somebody stopped to help me, and when I turned my back, they tried to shoot me.
Oh, okay, were you shot?
Yes, but okay. I'm okay.
You shot where? Where were you shot at?
Huh?
Did they actually shoot you, or they tried to shoot you?
They shot me, but...
Okay, wait, you need EMS?
Well, I mean, yes, I can't drive.
Okay.
And I'm bleeding a lot.
What part of your body?
I'm not sure, somewhere on my head.
Your head?
Somebody just stopped me, ma'am, for 911.
Okay. Still?
Hey.
Okay, let me speak to him, see if he can tell me exactly where you are.
For the record, I'm stopped at 141. Was that the defendant on the 911 call?
Yes.
At that point in time, he said, someone shot me?
Yes.
Did he identify who that was?
No, he did not.
All to show you what's been marked as States 545. And is this a copy of a body-worn camera video you received from the defendant in the ambulance at the scene?
Yes.
And by the scene, we mean the side of the road on September 4th?
Absolutely. Sacklatchie Road, September 4th, 2021.
Your Honor, at this point, I'd offer States 545 into evidence, I believe, without additional objection.
No additional objection, Your Honor.
It's submitted.
All right, for the record, I am going to publish a portion of that video.
Tell me more now. What? I'm going down the road. I had a tire go flat. I pulled over, and this car went by me. And I didn't pay a lot of attention, truck, but then it turned around, came back.
I got you.
A real nice guy acted like, and I turned my head, and I mean, boom.
Okay. You know what kind of gun it was?
I don't know what kind of gun it was, but it sounded like a shotgun, even though it was so loud. It didn't sound like a .22. I know that's what they think it is, but it didn't sound like a .22.
It looks like a small caliber hole. Yeah.
Small caliber?
Yeah. Small caliber.
But it was extremely loud. Like a...
What's your name?
Alec Murdoch.
Okay. Hey. What's your name?
52768.
Over here, buddy.
You're good. You're good. What's a good telephone number, Mr. Murdoch?
942-1227.
1227. What's your address?
P.O. Box 457.
Box 457, Hatton.
3 Temple, 3 Temple, 3 Temple.
Uniform Nancy Parker, 1160. Uniform Nancy Parker. So, what is, you said it's a beautiful pickup. It's a Ford, a GMC, or what?
It wasn't a Ford, I know that.
It wasn't a Ford. Like a Ram type, or?
You know, I think it was a GMC or a Chevrolet, but
GMC?
I'm not totally positive.
So you had a flat tire, your Mercedes, then went inside the road, tried to change the tire. The blue collar pickup came inside you, you thought everything was okay, and then the collar, you think of a shotgun in the shop. How many times did it fire?
I think just one time.
One time.
I lost my vision right when it first happened. And I'm not, I think I was...
All right, for the record, I played that clip from about 14:07 to 14:10 by the timestamp. Was that the defendant in the ambulance at the scene on Sacklatchie Road?
Yes, it was.
And did he again tell the story that he had been shot by an unknown assailant?
Yes, the story was consistent.
All right. And did he say at any time during that anyone shot him?
No.
And what did he say the weapon sounded like that shot him?
He said it sounded like a shotgun.
On September 4th, you said you responded to a hospital?
Yes, in Savannah, Georgia.
All right. And who did you see when you were there?
I met with Alex Murdoch and I met with Randy Murdoch.
All right. And did you have a conversation with the defendant?
Yes, I did.
All right. And can you just very generally relate what the defendant said? Did he tell you a very similar story that we've heard from the 911 call in the ambulance video?
Yes. When we arrived in the hospital, Mr. Murdoch was receiving treatment. He was awake and willing to talk to us. At that point, he was the only witness to this incident. We asked him what happened, and he told us a story that was consistent with the 911 call and with what was told to the deputy.
All right. And did he state that a driver had stopped, passed by, turned around, and came back to the location?
Yes. He said the similar story, that he was driving along Old Sacklatchie. that he hit something significant with his tire, causing it to go flat. So when he pulled over to the side of the road to inspect the tire, it was flat. As he was doing that, he said a darkened-colored Chevy pickup truck drove by, passed him, turned around, and came back to his location. He said he made contact with the driver, and as Mr. Murdoch turned around to walk back to his vehicle, he said the driver then shot him.
Did he say that the driver of the truck seemed very nice?
He described the driver as a very nice, nice-looking male between 30 and 45 years of age.
Did he tell you what he thought the weapon was that shot him with?
Yes. While he initially said it was a shotgun in the ambulance, when we met with him at the hospital, he identified the weapon as possibly a .22 caliber.
Did he say whether or not he ever lost consciousness?
He said that he lost his vision, dropped down to his knees, but he did not believe he'd lost consciousness.
Did he describe the vehicle of the person that supposedly did this?
Yes. He again described a newer model, dark in color, blue Chevy pickup with, I believe, some type of sport tires.
All right. And did he describe the driver at all of this that supposedly was the person who shot him?
Yes, his description of the driver was consistent, a white male between 30 and 40 years of age. He described him as nice looking, a nice person. He described him as having close cropped hair with a close cropped facial hair.
And did he say whether or not he would recognize this unknown person if he saw him again?
Yes, Ms. Murdoch told us that if he were to see the person again, he would be able to identify him.
At any point, did he identify specifically any individual, or did he claim that this was an unknown person?
He never gave a specific individual's name. He just said it was someone he did not know.
I'm going to return back to the scene, and I'm going to show you what's been marked as States 544. All right, I'm going to show you what's.
Thank you.
I'm going to show you what's been marked as States 544, and see if you recognize this particular image.
I do. This was recovered from inside the black Mercedes SUV driven by Mr. Murdoch. It is his assistant solicitor's badge.
Could I have the helmet real quick, please? All right, is that what's on the screen right now for the jury to see?
Yes, it is.
All right, turning back to now let's move into September 5th. Did agents with law enforcement continue to sort of search that scene where the Mercedes had been located?
Yes. So on September 5th, agents returned to the scene. We were looking for any evidence of involved in the accident. We were looking for the significant piece of debris, and as we were searching the roadway around where the Mercedes had pulled off, we searched across the street in the grass area, and we recovered a gray in color utility knife.
Did law enforcement, did you notice any sort of debris or anything like had been described by the defendant as supposedly causing the damage to the tire?
No, we searched the area extensively, and we never were able to locate this significant piece of debris that Mr. Murdoch described as causing his tire to go flat.
I'll show you what's been marked as State 546, and do you recognize that image?
Yes, I do.
And tell the jury what that is, please.
That is the folding knife that was recovered across the road from where Mr. Murdoch's vehicle was parked.
Your Honor, this time, I believe without additional objection, the state would move in State 546.
No additional objections, Your Honor.
It's admitted.
All right, and is that the knife as it was found laying in the grass?
Yes.
And again, where was that location in relationship to where the Mercedes was?
The Mercedes was pulled off to the side of the road. This was directly across the road in the grass on the other side.
Was DNA testing ultimately conducted on this particular knife?
Yes.
And were two individuals in that DNA testing that came back in the propositions as a result?
Yes, DNA profiles of both Alec Murdoch and Eddie Smith were identified on the knife.
In the course of the investigation, did you uncover any evidence that not long before this event occurred at 1:34 or so on September 4th that the defendant had had a confrontation with an individual?
Yes.
And who was that? Remind the jury of that, please.
Prior to going to Salkehatchie Road, Mr. Murdoch met with Chris Wilson.
And can you remind the jury what generally that discussion was about?
Mr. Wilson and Mr. Murdoch met. Mr. Wilson, at that point, Alec Murdoch had been terminated from his law firm, and Mr. Wilson became aware of that, so he wanted to meet with him to discuss what was going on, because obviously Mr. Wilson and Mr. Murdoch had the missing $192,000 from the previous months that was still ongoing.
On September 6th, did you return back to the Savannah Hospital?
Yes, I did.
All right, and did you have another conversation with the defendant?
Yes. When Mr. Murdoch advised us that he would be able to, would recognize the individual if he should see them again, SLED has at its resources a composite sketch artist. So we brought her down, and her and I went to Savannah back to the hospital to re-interview Mr. Murdoch in an attempt to create a composite sketch of the unknown suspect.
All right, and just very quickly, what is a composite sketch?
Again, I'm not a composite sketch artist, so I'm a layperson as I describe this. It is where an artist uses a digital software in concert with resources of magazines of you know certain you know body types and skin tones and whatnot, and allows the victim to like a catalog to go through and find the identifying features closest that fit the unknown person, and those various parts are then drawn together to create a composite sketch.
All right. And during that particular interaction, was the defendant able to answer your questions?
He was.
Did he respond appropriately to subject matter?
He responded appropriately, was able to answer the questions asked of him. And again, we started from the beginning, and he again went over the entire scenario of what happened on the 4th, and it was consistent with the versions he had given us previously.
Did he agree to have this discussion with you?
He did agree.
And did you go into some discussion again with what happened on the side of the road, at least according to him at this point in time?
Yes.
And was it consistent with what he'd related before?
It was consistent.
Did he describe this unknown individual?
Again, he described him in a similar fashion, white male, between 30 and 40 years of age, was nice looking, close cropped hair, manicured close facial hair. I believe he described him as wearing some type of outdoors type shirt. The description was consistent with what he had previously told us.
All right. And did he also provide a similar description of the vehicle that this individual was driving?
Yes, again, a dark and colored Chevy pickup truck.
And yet again, at any point during this period of time, did he identify who this person was, or did he say it was an unknown assailant?
Never identified who it was, and continued to tell us it was an unknown person.
Did he work with the sketch artist and looking through books and working to make a a sketch of the supposed unknown assailant?
Yes, the sketch was completed.
And did that take a relatively extensive period of time?
Looking back, I don't know the exact approximate, but it probably took a couple hours for the interview and the sketch to be completed.
All right, I'm going to show you what's been marked as States 547 to your testimony and see if you recognize that image.
I do. This is the composite sketch.
All right, Your Honor, at this time I would offer States 547, I believe, without additional objection.
Without additional objections, Your Honor.
It's admitted.
What is this image on the screen?
That is the composite sketch created with the assistance of Mr. Murdoch.
Based on his descriptions to the sketch artist?
Based on his descriptions.
This is on September 6, 2021?
September 6, 2021.
That evening, did law enforcement receive any communication from the defendant's family?
Yes. On the evening of September 6th, Special Agent Owen received a call from Mr. Murdoch's brother, Randy.
All right. Can you relate what the investigation learned from that particular conversation?
Alec Murdoch was still in the hospital in Savannah. Randy and the family had been down there with him. Randy called Special Agent Owen to let him know that Alec had been making calls from the hospital to some unknown numbers. So Randy provided those numbers to us.
And had was information related that he had had contact with hospital staff?
Yes. Randy told us that Alec was trying to convince the nursing, the medical staff members to allow him to use the phone so he could make phone calls.
And was information related that he was actually offering the staff money to try to use their phone?
Yes, one of the nurses in their notes made note of Mr. Murdoch trying to offer money to use their phone.
Did the family of Mr. Murdoch relate a specific name and a number to law enforcement as they discovered that Alec was attempting to contact this person?
A specific name and number were provided to us, Curtis Edward Smith. We were able to take the telephone number and trace that back to Mr. Smith.
During the course of this particular investigation, did law enforcement obtain any surveillance footage from any nearby establishments?
Yes, we did.
And can you describe that to the jury, please?
After the shooting, the agents who are present on the crime scene, obviously part of our investigation is to canvass the area. There was St. John's Baptist Church was nearby. Agents made contact with staff there. They, in fact, did have surveillance video that captured the roadway of Salcahatchie Road. Reviewing the footage, we first looked to isolate Mr. Murdoch's black and color Mercedes. That was something that was unknown to us. That he went that way, it would have been seen. And as we continued to review the footage, we started looking for a blue and color Chevy pickup truck. At 1:25 p.m. approximately, we observed a blue and color Chevy pickup truck with a gold or yellow and color passenger front quarter panel. Passed by at 1:25, approximately 20 seconds later, Mr. Murdoch's black and color SUV passed by. At 1:30 p.m., the blue and color pickup truck was seen driving back the opposite direction away from where Mr. Murdoch would have been.
All right, I'm going to show you three images that have been marked States 548, 549, and 550. And see if you recognize these images.
Yes, this is the 1:25 p.m. image. The first image is the pickup truck with the gold front quarter panel. The second image is 20 seconds later, approximately, with the black and color SUV. And the third image is at 1:30, 5 minutes later, with what appears to be the blue and color pickup truck driving back the other way.
Your Honor, this time the state would offer States 548, 549, and 550, I believe, without additional objection.
No additional objection.
They are admitted.
All right. Putting this up on the screen, we have the timestamp up here. Is that correct?
Yes.
And what is that right there?
That is the, it is a dark blue and colored Chevy pickup truck with a gold front quarter panel.
All right. 549. What does that image reflect?
It is the Mercedes SUV.
Going in the same direction?
Going in the same direction, approximately 20 seconds after.
And then 550, what does that reflect?
That is at 1:30 p.m., approximately 5 minutes after the initial vehicles were seen. The blue Chevy truck appears to be driving in the opposite direction.
Did law enforcement travel to any particular residence in light of the information that had been provided by the defendant's family about the calls that the defendant was making?
Yes, once we were able to identify Curtis Edward Smith, we quickly learned that he was a resident of Walterboro, South Carolina. So we were able to go to his residence the morning of September 7th, and we were able. He lives at 1075 Burlington Road in Walterboro. Agent Owen went by and was able to locate or observe the blue and color Chevy pickup truck with the right front gold quarter panel.
Was a search warrant conducted of that residence?
Yeah, a search warrant was obtained and executed on the residence.
What date was that?
September 7th, 2021.
All right, and during the course of that search warrant, was there some narcotics found?
Yes.
Was there a ledger found?
Yes, so a small amount of narcotics. Mr. Smith lives, has a garage, a modest home. Over the course of the execution of the search warrant, narcotics were located inside the garage, but the search of the residence, we found a, the best way I could describe it would be a physician's desk reference of multiple narcotic pills, like a drug reference guide that he had made personal notes in.
And was there any sort of notebook with a ledger in it or anything like that recovered?
Yes, there was also a small spiral notebook, a 3.5-inch spiral notebook that had various, it looked like, obviously it wasn't completed by an accountant, but there was numbers and there was pills and descriptions of it looks like some type of sales ledger.
All right, I'm going to show you what's been marked as States 551 and see if you recognize this image.
Yes, I do. These are transaction receipts and deposit and withdrawal receipts for Curtis Edward Smith's Enterprise Bank account.
And ultimately, did the law enforcement look at some of this financial information and trace that back to the defendant? This was recovered in Eddie Smith's house, correct?
Yes, those documents were recovered in Mr. Smith's house. At this point, Alex Murdoch had been fired from his law firm for stealing from clients and from the firm. We were aware of that information. It was told to us that Mr. Murdoch had a prescription drug addiction that we were aware of. We were aware that Mr. Murdoch had reached out to Mr. Smith from the hospital. So when we found, like I said, Mr. Smith lives in a modest house, has a modest vehicle. When we're seeing several hundred thousand dollars of deposits and financial records for Mr. Smith's Enterprise Bank, we obtained a search warrant. Through the execution of that search warrant, the funds were tied back to checks written by Mr. Murdoch.
And did those funds continue up until the time of the murders at Moselle?
Yes, they did.
And did they continue afterwards?
They did.
Your Honor, this time I would offer States 551 in evidence, I believe, without additional objection.
Without additional objection, Your Honor.
It's admitted.
Did the investigation obtained any information from Blanca Simpson about any communication she had with the defendant that day, September 4th, 2021?
Yes. Ms. Simpson made contact with Mr. Murdoch, where Mr. Murdoch had requested her send him copies of their insurance cards.
Was that prior to the incident occurring on the side of the road?
Yes. When prior to the incident, Mr. Murdoch attempted to meet with a few individuals, Mr. Wilson being one of them, and he made contact with Ms. Simpson via telephone.
In light of the information that had been uncovered about Eddie Smith and the connection, the financial connection between Eddie Smith and Alec Murdoch, did the investigation seek to re-interview Alec Murdoch?
We did. I reached out to Mr. Arpulian on the day of September 7th, 2021.
All right. And over the course of the next few days, was the defendant going to rehab?
Yes, we communicated regularly with Mr. Arpulian and Mr. Griffith. They made it known to us that Mr. Murdoch had entered into a rehab facility that was out of state. So at that point, we were making an attempt to interview him. We made plans to travel to Atlanta, where we believe Mr. Murdoch was, and those plans did not come to fruition.
Were you able to make contact with the defense and have a subsequent interview with the defendant, Alec Murdoch?
Yes. Mr. Arpulian called me on September 13th, 2021, and we were able to set up a telephone interview of Mr. Murdoch.
All right. I'm going to show you what's been marked as Exhibit 552, State's Exhibit 552, and see if you recognize this disc.
I do. This is a recording of the September 13th, 2021 interview with Mr. Murdoch.
Your Honor, this time I would offer State 552 into evidence, I believe, without additional objection.
No additional objection, Your Honor.
It's admitted.
I'm going to publish that to the jury.
No, it should not wear it out. All right, telephone conference interview of Alec Murdoch, 9/13/21.
Whose voice is that?
Special Agent Jomar Elbayalde.
Was he present with you when you conducted this interview?
Yes, he was.
Jim.
Hey, Jim, this is Ryan Kelly and Jomar Elbayalde with SLED. How are you?
Hey, Ryan and Joe.
Yes.
We're at an office over here in Atlanta with Alec and Dick, and I'm just gonna put the phone here on the table next to Alec and turn it over to you guys. Well, let me start, Ryan. First of all, we only have about 30 to 40 minutes before we have to get out of here. Okay.
No problem, sir. Sorry about that. We you caught me. I was halfway to Somerville, so I had to turn around and get into a place.
And I'm sorry, but we. We're waiting getting here to see Alec, and once we got in here, we had to have a long discussion.
Okay.
It's official. I'd like to walk him through some questions, which will then allow you to question him, but give you some sort of, rather than him just sort of wandering around.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, before we get started, can we just have, for the purpose of our notes, you know, obviously we prefer not to do telephone interviews. This is how y'all requested, so obviously, you know, we don't really have a choice, but we just could. I'm going to need Alex to identify himself, you know, on the call, and you know, basically what we do is I'm going to ask him his date of birth and the last four of his social.
Okay, go ahead.
Alex, just go.
Hello.
Alex, you give me your full name.
Okay, Richard Alexander Murdoch.
Okay, and what's your date of birth?
My date of birth is May 27th, 1968.
Last four of your social.
7483.
Okay. And I understand that, you know, obviously this is a unique situation conducting this this interview over the phone. We need to, obviously you've been receiving some treatment. So our, you know, just for the overall, you know, sake of your competency to be giving us information, are you right now, you know, sound body and sound mind?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Are you talking to us willingly?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right, Dick, go ahead, sir.
Okay, so let me say for the record, this is attorney Jim Griffin and Dick Arbuglia here. We've spent the last hour talking to him. We believe that he is a sound mind and body, and that he understands, and that he is in no way diminished capacity.
Okay. So
he is perfectly competent to answer these questions. Now, we're willing to, and we've advised him, we're going to talk about the shooting incident a week ago Saturday, where he was shot in the head, and how that happened, and why it was done.
Okay.
We don't want to talk about what happened in Moselle, and we don't want to talk about anything involving finances at the law firm. Is that okay?
Yes.
Okay. So, Alex, let's talk about last Saturday morning, and let me go through this briefly. Who did you meet with and talk to last Saturday morning?
I met with Jim Griffin and Chief Chessie.
Mm-hmm. And then what?
I drove to Canton and I met with Chris Wilson at my mom's house.
Okay. And you and Chris were talking about what?
About everything I had done.
Okay, everything you had done concerning finances.
Finances, pills, lies.
Okay. Now, were you taking, well, first of all, let me back up for just a second. Have you had a long-standing OxyContin or opioid addiction issue?
Yes, sir.
How many years?
The best I can remember, around 20 years, 18 to 20 years.
Okay. Now, on this particular day, on this Saturday, were you taking the OxyContin or taking any opioids?
I had taken some, but, you know, I was taking, I'd given it all that I had someone else, and I'd taken some at like 4 a.m., so I was having some withdrawals.
Okay. And the previous day, the news had come out about your embezzling or taking client money or law firm money, is that correct?
That's correct.
And how would you describe your state of mind at that time?
I was in a very bad place.
What does that mean?
I thought it would be better for me not to be here anymore.
What do you mean by not be here anymore?
I thought that it would make it easier on my family for me to be dead.
And easier with some financial gain to your family if you were dead?
I have a fair amount of life insurance debt.
You remember how much?
Not off the top of my head, but like $10 million, $12 million.
Okay. And so you decided to end your life.
That's correct.
And tell these sweat agents how you went about arranging that.
I called Curtis Eddie Smith on the telephone.
Okay, now let's stop for a second. Who is Curtis Eddie Smith?
Curtis Eddie Smith is the primary person who I purchased pills from for years.
And some weeks you would give him how much money for pills?
I mean, it'd be in my records, but we had weeks where there would be $40,000, $50,000, $60,000.
That you would give him for pills?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so you've known him for how long?
Years.
Years. So, did you call him that morning?
Yes, sir, I did.
That day? About what time?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
But I asked him to...
Was it after you met with Jim Griffin?
It was after I met with Jim Griffin.
After you met with Chris Wilson?
I believe so.
Okay, and when you called him, what did you ask him?
I asked him to meet me.
Did he meet you?
He did.
Where did he meet you?
He met me out not too far from my mom's house.
Where?
He was on the side of the road. I think at the funeral home.
At the funeral home. Okay. And did y'all talk?
Not there. He followed me into town.
To where?
To over where I stopped by the Sunoco gas station.
Okay. Did y'all have a discussion there?
Yes, sir.
Did y'all get out of your cars or just in your vehicle?
I don't think we got out of our cars.
And what vehicle were you in?
I was in my wife's Mercedes.
And what vehicle was he in?
He was in a gray pickup truck.
Okay. And what did y'all discuss?
I told him that things were getting ready to get really bad and that I would be better off not here. And I asked him to shoot me.
And you asked him to shoot you?
That's correct.
And what was his response?
I mean, I think at first he was a little surprised, but then he said, okay.
Did you tell him where you wanted him to shoot you?
Yes, sir.
Where'd you tell him you wanted him to shoot you?
In the head.
And did you tell him how you were going to arrange that? What was going to be the logistics of that?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
I told him to follow me out and that I would make a flat tire and he would go past me and turn around and come back and do it.
And did he follow you out?
He did.
Now, where did he get the gun?
I gave it to him.
Where did you give it to him?
We had stopped somewhere on Salkehatchie Road, I believe.
Did y'all have a discussion there, or did you just give him the gun?
We didn't have much discussion.
When you say much, was there any discussion?
I'm not sure. I was worried about cars coming, and so it was a very fast thing.
You gave him what kind of weapon did you give him?
A revolver pistol.
What caliber?
38.
Okay, and that was your gun?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and so he followed you out to where?
Salkehatchie Road.
Okay, and did you pull off the road?
Yes, sir.
And you pulled off the road, what did you do?
I stopped, made my tire flat.
How'd you make your tire flat?
With a knife.
Whose knife?
Mine.
What did you do with the knife after you made your tire flat?
Threw it.
Which tire?
Back driver's side.
Back driver's side. You threw it where?
Across the road.
Across the road?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Was it woods over there, a ditch, or do you know?
Just some grass, like thick grass.
Okay. And after you did that, he passed you? Or did he pass you as you were doing that?
I think that he had already passed me and was in front of me and went down the road, turned around and come back.
Now, when he was coming back, you had given him a pistol. What was your intent?
For him to kill me.
Okay. And when he came back, did he stop? Did he pull up? Do you know?
He did.
And when he pulled up, did you look in his face?
I don't think so.
So what happened next?
I stood close to his car.
And?
He shot me.
Where did he shoot you?
He missed and hit me in the very back of the head.
Okay. And as a result of being hit in the back of the head, did that have any physical effect on you?
It did.
What happened?
I lost my vision for a little bit, and I'm not sure if it knocked me to the ground or not, but I was disoriented, and it took me like a minute and a half, 2 minutes for my sight to come back.
And do you remember him driving off? Did you hear him drive off? Drive off?
I'm not sure.
Okay, now after you came to your senses, did your vision come back?
It came back.
Okay, and what's the first time you remember somebody else being there?
I remember there were two cars that came, and one of them did a stop, and one of them did stop.
And the one that stopped, what did they do?
They tried to help me.
In what way?
In getting me to the, in every way that, first we got in, they were crowded in their car. There was some reason why their car was crowded, and I'm not sure what that was, but so the young lady got in my car and was going to drive me to the hospital, and I just wasn't thinking about the flat tire, and so we had to get out of that, and then they worked it out somehow for me to be able to get in their car in the front passenger seat.
Okay, so, and you got the front passenger seat. Where did they take you?
To meet the ambulance.
Now, do you mind not, have you called 911?
Yes, sir.
Can you tell if somebody shot?
Yes, sir.
Some bad shot, right?
At my request.
So, your intent was to have him kill you so he could collect your life insurance, right?
So my son could. I mean, I knew I was about to lose everything, and I figured he's better off that way than dealing with me.
Now this gentleman that shot you, give me his name again.
Curtis Eddie Smith.
What kind of vehicle is he driving?
Gray truck.
Okay, and it's probably not relevant, but I'm intrigued by the fact, how long was it, had you ever discussed with him before killing you? Oh, you committed suicide?
No, sir.
How long did it transpire between the time you asked him to shoot you in the head on the side of the road and he actually shot you in the head on the side of the road?
When I first asked him, we were at the Sunoco station in Barnville.
And how long after that did he actually shoot you in the head?
However long it takes to drive from there to Talkatchee Road.
More than a half an hour?
I don't think so.
Did he ever ask you to reconsider or say, things aren't that bad? Did he ever, you know, try to convince you to do otherwise?
No, sir.
You find that strength?
I didn't, you know, I was focused on...
Focused on what?
On being gone.
So that's all the questions I have, but I tried to lay it out as expeditiously as possible, but he'll be happy to answer any other questions. Any additional questions, again, I'm not
okay.
Interviewer, so y'all have at it. We've got about another 20 minutes.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Hey, let me ask you this. Y'all recording this, aren't you?
Yes, sir, we are.
Okay, good. Just want to make sure.
Yep. So, Alex, so how long have you known Curtis Smith?
Ryan, Officer Kelly, before we start, I just want to tell you, I apologize to you for lying at you in the hospital. I was in a very bad place.
No, sir, we understand. We understand. And I do appreciate you, helping us figure this out now. So that's in the past, so let's just focus on what we're doing now. How long have you known Curtis?
I've known him for years. I represented him. He knew my dad somehow for playing softball, and he came to my dad with a lawsuit, and I handled that case. So I would guess 10, 12.
Okay.
Years ago.
How often would y'all talk on the phone?
Very frequently.
Okay. And what would y'all talk about?
Getting pills.
Okay. And you would pay him money to get you pills, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. How often would you pay him?
Frequently.
Okay. Well, I mean, once a week, twice a week?
It would vary sometimes, but it was several times a week.
How would you pay him?
In cash, and mostly in checks, but in some cash too.
Okay, and what accounts would those checks come from?
The vast majority of them would come from the Bank of America account, but there would also be some funds that would come from the Palmetto State account.
And whose accounts are those?
Mine.
What names are
they in? The Bank of America accounts are in my name. And then there's another account there that I created that's a DBA. That's my name, DBA Forge. And then my checking account at Palmetto State Bank.
Okay, so there's two accounts at Bank of America?
Yes, sir.
The DBA and then your checking?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And what is the DBA?
Forge, F-O-R-G-E.
Thank you. Okay, and then the Palmetto is your, was the other checking account?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and who was he? So you were paying him the money. Do you know who he was getting the drugs from?
You know, sir.
What did he tell you
where he's getting? Oh, well, I was told that he got them from a black guy in Walterboro, and I was told that he had some connection in Buford, but yeah. I never.
Did he give you a name?
No, sir. I never saw those guys. I never dealt with those guys. So I don't know. That's what he told me.
Would you ever give anybody else money for drugs?
Yes, sir.
Who else did you give money?
I had given Kenny Hughes money.
Who's Kenny Hughes?
He's a guy that I called up and asked him if he knew anybody that he could buy pills from.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him I had a client that had issues and couldn't get them medically, and that, you know, and I would pay him as well, but I called him up and asked him to do it.
All right. How much money do you think you gave him?
I have no idea.
Okay. Did you write him a check or pay him cash?
Both.
Okay. Did you pay anybody else?
No, sir.
So it was just Curtis Smith and Kenny Hughes?
Yes, sir.
Sure about that? Think about it.
In the past, I have paid other people.
Okay, who are those other people?
I had a lady that worked at our house that, at our mom's house that...
And who's that?
Barbara Mixon. But that was on a very, very few occasions.
And did you pay her a cash and check, or how'd you pay her?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I mean, that was on very limited occasions.
Okay. Is there anybody else?
Not that I can think of right now.
Okay. So the 38 revolver, it was your revolver?
Yes, sir.
Okay, where did you get that from?
It was at my mom's house.
When did you pick it up?
When I went up there that day.
Do you know where it is now?
No, sir.
So you gave the gun to Curtis, and you don't know what he did with it?
That's correct.
Has anybody in your family had any communications with Curtis recently?
I don't know why.
Well, because when we interviewed him, he said he had to talk to his attorney first, and he listed you. And then when we said that wasn't possible, he listed Randy. So we're just trying to figure out.
Randy's not going to represent him.
And let me say this, maybe.
Hold on, I got one more question. Does Randy have any knowledge of this?
Does Randy have any knowledge of what?
Of this attempted suicide / agreement with Curtis.
I told both my brothers and my son.
When?
Very recently.
Yesterday, right?
When was it?
Yesterday. After we told him we're coming here so that he could tell you, he wanted them to hear from him first.
Okay, so Randy didn't have any knowledge last week, previously?
No.
Absolutely not. I lied to him, too.
Alec told me yesterday about 4:15, and then I sort of tipped John Marvin off, and then later on I learned that I talked to Alec, and he had called Buster, John Marvin, and Randy after I spoke with him at 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon.
Okay.
We didn't about to do that. We were trying to...
And before that, I told them the same lies that I told you.
Now, here's an important thing. Since the shooting, have you talked to the shooter?
Yeah.
Okay, tell them about those calls.
I'm not sure. I was in the very beginnings of my detox, and I can just see where I tried to call on the phone. I know I talked to him, but I don't have it.
You called him or he called you?
I called him.
Okay, but you don't remember what he said.
I don't.
Do you remember what you told him?
No, sir.
And this is when you were in the hospital in Savannah?
No, this is when I was in detox here.
Okay, so you've called him since you went, because you went to detox.
Let me ask you this. Agent Kelly, has the investigation revealed, as you testified before, that the defendant, like Murrah, did call Eddie Smith, trying to use staff phones as well while he was at the hospital additionally in Savannah?
Yes, Mr. Murdoch was able to contact Mr. Smith while staying at the hospital in Savannah.
When? Monday night?
That's right.
Did you call him on a nurse's phone from the hospital? I heard that from...
But you know what? Randy did say I did that.
But you don't have a memory of that.
Randy said that I called him and then he was asking me. He did say I did that.
Oh. But Curtis, you don't remember calling Curtis?
I don't, but I'll tell you from past experience that when withdrawals begin, you would do just about anything to make them quit. And I probably was calling them for that purpose.
To get pills?
Probably.
All right, so you don't know where the gun is at?
No, sir.
But you last saw it in Curtis Smith's possession?
I gave it to him, yes, sir.
All right. The accounts that you were writing the checks to Curtis were Bank of America and Palmetto State Bank?
Yes, sir.
All right, and the funds, where were those funds coming from?
Well, this may be an area we don't want to talk about, but just let's say the bulk of them were not legitimately obtained.
Okay, and I'm not trying to be coy. It's just that, you know, Mr. Murdoch is independently wealthy, you know, so...
Not anymore.
Well,
not
I understand that, but, you know, I think it's a pertinent question, so if...
Yeah, no, look, he was independently wealthy, but there's a significant amount of money missing from clients in the law firm.
Okay. So the money came from ill-gotten gains? Is that what...
I would say the majority of it, but some of it I'm sure I used my own personal funds too.
Okay.
I mean, I was buying so many.
All right, so just let me get this straight. So you entered into did you pay Curtis any money for this?
No, sir.
You didn't pay him anything, so you just asked of a favor and he did it.
Yes, sir.
Kill me. That's a great favor.
And so, and these checks that you were paying to Curtis, I mean, they were pretty significant, right?
Yes, sir.
But and when was the last time? I mean, I'm not trying to get you to a. When was the last time you made a payment to Curtis? Was it before the shooting?
It would have been. I mean, not like right before the shooting, but yeah. It would have been several days.
Okay. Did you remember how much you paid him?
No, sir. I think the...
Was it check or cash?
The last few times I paid him were all in check, and I was trying to, you know, see him as little as possible.
All right, now let me ask you this. Do you owe money to any drug dealers?
No, sir.
So there's not a threat out there that we need to worry about for Buster?
No, sir. No, sir.
Okay, so the money that you were paying to Curtis to get money from his dealer or his supplier, you were paid in full in those payments. So there's no outstanding debt that we need to worry about.
No, sir. Hey, Ryan, that's assuming that Curtis passed all the money along.
Well, no, I understand. I understand. And you know, we'll work. So, to the best of your knowledge, you don't owe anybody.
No, sir.
Okay. So the money that you paid him, you don't remember how much you paid him, but it was for pills, and you're saying that you didn't pay him at all for him to shoot you.
That's correct.
Now, I'm going to be honest, that doesn't make any sense to me.
I understand.
And I know that, like, you know, whether you did or you didn't, it really doesn't have that much of a difference, so I'm not going to, you know, but I appreciate your being forthcoming and you're making every attempt to be honest at this point. But so, you know, I just want to make sure that we're all on the same page. So you did not make any financial payment to Curtis to have him shoot you?
No, I did not.
Okay, but you entered into a verbal agreement with him to set up a scheme where he would shoot you. It would be a suicide set up as a robbery homicide, and you doing so was in order for your son to get your life insurance policy.
I don't know about a robbery, but everything else is true.
So let me say this to you. He's had this policy for 10 years. Suicide.
I've had a policy.
No, I understand that policies. I mean, what is the policy with? Where is it at?
I don't know where the actual policy is.
Okay. Did you intend to have that paperwork in the Mercedes, like the will and all that information? Was that left in there intentionally?
Well, I've been down to meet with some lawyers about some things, and it was in there from that.
What do you mean?
Day before. I can't call her name now. Buster's girlfriend's employers, Kathy Olivetti.
Yeah, and you're meeting with them about why did you have wills?
Just getting things cleaned up. I've been down and met with them one time before,
and Ryan, there's a 2-year statutory ban on any suicide exclusion. In other words, if you have the policy more than 2 years, you can commit suicide and still collect.
Yep. Okay.
So that's not. Now, what he thought really doesn't matter, but he may have thought that would have been a problem.
Okay. But you still entered into an agreement, basically, to have him kill you so your son would then reap the insurance benefits. And
yeah.
Okay. Okay.
You in. Is that true?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
All right. So, how did you get the knife? Was it your knife?
You know, I think that Eddie gave it to me. Curtis Eddie Smith gave it to me.
Okay. And then, how did you make the tire flat?
I just stuck it.
So you punctured the tire with the knife?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so Eddie gave you the knife. You took the knife and punctured the tire.
That's correct.
And then what did you do with the knife?
Threw it.
Threw it where?
I believe across the road, but I'm not absolutely positive.
Okay, but you threw it, you disposed of it in the area of where the Mercedes was parked?
I think I threw it across the road from where it was parked.
Okay, okay. Do you know if they disposed of the gun out there?
I do not know.
Okay.
Okay, was that gun registered to anybody?
Probably.
Probably to who?
Should have been. I believe that I purchased it, so I believe it would be registered to me.
You remember? Do you remember when you purchased it?
No, sir.
Where would you have purchased it?
Yeah. I got no idea.
Okay. You don't have Curtis's phone number?
Sir?
You have Curtis Eddie's phone number.
If y'all have them, we'd love to get them.
Yeah. It won't be my key.
Yeah, I got a cell number, 843-908-1534. And a home number at 843-538-4691.
All right. Alex, did you ever have any dealings with anybody else besides Eddie, any of his friends, family, girlfriend?
I mean, I knew who his girlfriend was, but I never had any dealings with her about him.
Who's his girlfriend?
A lady named Donna Eason. I don't know her very well, but I've just helped her with a couple of little legal issues over the years.
Okay.
But she never was involved in the exchange of pills or money.
Okay. Is there a property up in Huge?
A property where?
In Huge, up 41. Do you guys own any property up there?
Oh, yes, sir. And out of Charleston?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Tell me about that.
There's a piece of property that I own with a bunch of other people that nobody else would pay, and so I've been paying for it, and he did some work up there digging some ditches.
Right. When did he do that?
He started within the last couple of months.
And that property, where's it at in Huge?
It's off of United Road, United Drive.
Okay.
I think it's called Red Beard and Zero United Drive.
Hey, Ron, we're gonna have to jump here in just a minute.
Okay.
Down here in just a minute.
All right, Alex, is there anything else that we're missing, that we're not asking you?
In regards to what? Not that I can think of, but, what are you thinking?
I was just kind of leaving that open-ended. Like I said, I'm not trying to get, I'm not involved in the other aspects of whatever other investigations, you know. We're keeping those separate. So you communicated with Curtis. You would communicate with him. Over cell phone?
Yes.
Okay, how many phones do you have, Alex?
At the time.
I had one phone. 1227 was my primary phone. And then,
I have to download that phone, Ryan, you know, when SLED started focusing on Alex, said he's a target. We started doing our own work. So I took possession of that and sent it to a guy to download, and he had to get a separate phone, and that was that other number. And then y'all seized both of those, that's okay. My understanding.
All right, and then he's got a third phone that he got prior to going to the treatment center.
Yeah, from Walmart, from burner phone.
Okay. What is his extended, expected length of treatment there in Alpharetta?
Well, it's unclear right now, but he'll go from here into rehab at some point. We'll keep you posted.
Okay. So anytime you're, you know, obviously this is, so you've identified Curtis Smith as the individual who shot you. and y'all entered into an agreement, so y'all kind of were hand in hand in this.
Very much so.
And he never tried to talk you out of it?
I don't know. No, sir. I don't think he did.
Okay. Did anybody know about this plan besides you and Curtis?
No.
Okay. All right.
If you're all about done, let me put this on the record. Alex, if you tell us the truth, I just want to make sure Ryan understands him and leading him on a very.
I did not tell anybody the truth until. Was it yesterday?
Yep.
Until yesterday afternoon.
Okay.
I've been really, really sick, and it's really the first day where I had any coherent thought process. And I sincerely apologize again for lying to y'all about everything that I did.
Yes, sir. And you have no idea where the gun is?
I do not.
Alex, you're right-handed, right?
I'm right-handed.
Okay, and you did not shoot yourself, correct?
I did not shoot myself.
What was the plan for Curtis to follow you out there, and you would immobilize your vehicle? So did he stop to make it fly for you to give you the knife first? I mean, how did that play? Because you got the knife from Curtis. When did you get the knife from him?
I think I got it from him when I gave him the gun.
Okay, over in when you were at the Sunoco?
No, we didn't do it then. That's when.
Okay, when you pulled off the side of the road and Sauk at you?
Shortly after we made the turn onto Salkahatchee, we stopped and did a quick exchange.
Okay. So you stopped, pulled over the side of the road, stuck the tire. Where was Curtis at when you were disabling the tire?
I believe he was going past me.
Okay. So he turned around. And you were, where were you at when you turned around?
I'm not sure. I mean, I would have been on the side of the road, I think.
Okay, so did you pull up, kind of like what you said, just past your car?
That's basically the way I told you it happened is kind of how it happened, except it was arranged by me.
Okay, so as you turned around and turned your back to him, about how far do you think you were from the car?
I don't know, 4 or 5 feet.
Okay, 4 or 5 feet. And did you just stand there and wait for him to shoot you?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And I'm assuming he just fired once?
Yes, sir.
And then you fell to the ground or stumbled off?
I'm still not positive about that part, but I did lose my vision for about a minute and a half to 2 minutes.
Okay. And why didn't you? Why weren't you truthful with us when this initially happened?
I don't have a good reason. I was in a bad, bad, bad place.
Okay. All right, gentlemen. Well, I know our time's cut short, but.
And Ryan, I'll call you from the car once we get out of here in just a couple minutes, and then I'll call you while we're driving back to the airport.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Okay.
All right, gentlemen. So let's see. We'll finish this. We are finishing the recording with Richard Alec Murdaugh, his attorneys Dick Harpulian and Jim Griffith, and Special Agent Ryan Kelly, Special Agent Jomar Obeyalde. It is now 4:58. On Monday, September 13th. Thank you all, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Special Agent Kelly, is that a complete conversation that you had with Alec Murdoch on September 13th, 2021?
Yes, it is.
Prior to that conversation, over the course of the 911 call, the ambulance, and multiple interviews at the hospital, did Alec Murdoch ever mention or identify Curtis Edward Smith at all until his lies about the side of the road were exposed?
No.
Did Alec Murdoch ever say that there was any risk or threat to Buster?
He said no. No, he did not. He actually denied it when we asked.
Did Alec Murdoch say that Curtis Eddie Smith had anything to do with the murders at Moselle?
He denied it when we asked.
And is there any evidence that Curtis Edward Smith had anything to do with Moselle?
None whatsoever.
Thank you. Nothing further.
Mr. Parpillion.
Your Honor, I understand we have a 4:30 cutoff. You just want me to go as far as I can go?
Or we can adjourn now for the day.
This is going to take a while, and I would suggest perhaps maybe one adjourn.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to adjourn until 9:30 tomorrow morning. Have order in court. I'm speaking to the jury. We're going to adjourn it till 9:30 tomorrow morning. Have a good evening. Please do not discuss the case.
Officer, please
do not discuss your testimony with anyone overnight. You'll be cross-examined tomorrow morning.
Yes, sir.
And we will be in recess.
Thank you, Your Honor.
All right.
That wraps up segment number 5 of our continuing coverage in the trial of Alec Murdoch. Thank you for subscribing and listening. If you've not yet pressed subscribe, please do press that so you don't miss any of our breaking updates and discussions on this case as it continues to unravel or develop, depending on how you're looking at it. I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
This message is sponsored by Greenlight. With school out, summer is the perfect time to teach our kids real-world money skills they'll use forever. Greenlight is a debit card and the number one family finance and safety app used by millions of families, helping kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely. Parents can send their kids money and track their spending and saving, while kids build money confidence and skills in fun ways. Start your risk-free Greenlight trial today at greenlight.com/iHeart. That's greenlight.com/iHeart. iHeart.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Hey everyone, this is Carrie Champion, the host of Naked Sports.
When you sit behind the wheel of the all-new 2025 Nissan Armada Pro 4X, you'll feel like the entire world is your playground, and you'd be right, because this unshakable fortress of a vehicle is built to take you on your next adventure. With a twin-turbo V6 engine, the all-new Armada is powerful enough to take you anywhere. With its 8,500 pounds of towing capacity, it will let you bring all your toys along, and with seating for 8, your whole crew can join you. Nissan created a truly capable vehicle in the all-new Armada. In fact, it's the first Armada to earn the Pro 4X badge, which Nissan reserves for its most adventure-ready vehicles. The Armada is a big SUV designed and built for big adventures and must be experienced to be appreciated. Drive the all-new 2025 Nissan Armada today. Learn more at NissanUSA.com. Intelligent four-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step 1. Go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step 2. Collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step 3. Play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games. All for free?
Step 4. Unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus terms and conditions apply.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Lowe's knows when you're looking for reliability, the right brand makes all the difference. And now, Lowe's is the exclusive home improvement retailer for the Whirlpool water treatment line, including their Wi-Fi softener, under-sink filtration system, and more. With Whirlpool's proven performance and our everyday low prices, better tasting, better quality water is within reach. Shop pro-trusted brands like Whirlpool and more, in-store or online. Lowe's, we help you save.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest. Life comes at you fast, which is why it's important to find some time to relax. A little you time. Enter Chumba Casino. With no download required, you can jump on anytime, anywhere for the chance to redeem some serious prizes. So treat yourself with Chumba Casino and play over 100 online casino-style games, all for free. Go to ChumbaCasino.com to collect your free welcome bonus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.